Good to see everybody here. We have visitors present. We're glad you came our way. The lesson today is a simple one, and it asks the question, what is your standard of authority in matters of religion? And it's a question that is often ignored in our religious world today. And so a lot of people have different ideas what their standard of authority is, but a lot of them choose the wrong standard. So we're going to look at that. Perhaps you have heard someone say something like, it doesn't really matter what a person believes as long as they're sincere. Or you may have heard, it doesn't matter what church you are a member of, we're all going to heaven, we're just going down different roads. And we've talked about these. It doesn't really matter what we call ourselves, just as long as we all consider ourselves to be Christians. And yeah, this is some of the false thinking that's out in the religious world today. And so, it seems increasingly common to find people today who deny there is such a thing as absolute truth. More and more in our society, well, truth is what I decide it is. And that's the problem in our world today. People have their own standards. And if what the reality is doesn't fit with your standard, then you can just say, well, I believe it's another way. And so people are very commonly prone to do such a thing. Whatever I think, whatever I say, that's the way it is. I mean, whatever way seems right to me, it's got to be God's way. That's how people think and that's how people talk. But these people often deny that a specific belief can be positively defined as truth or error. So when it comes down to it, well, what is truth? Well, God's word is truth. We're willing to accept that, but people of the world are not. That's why they ignore what's written in the Bible, because they don't think it's the truth, and they don't treat it like the truth. And so they choose their own way of doing things. And this is many times the case, even in matters of religion. When you would think, well, they all follow the same Bible, why are there so many different religions out there? See, there's a reason men come up with these thoughts. All right, whether a person believes absolute truth exists or not is determined by what standard of authority they use in determining the truth. And yeah, so that's why. So now, when we start talking about standards, standard of authority, you know, in our world today, they came up with a system many years ago, standards of weights and measures. Because people usually purchase goods based on how many pounds they got. They pay for things by the pound or by the length. And so they came up with this system of standards so that everybody would follow the same standard. So a yard of cloth should be 36 inches. But some people were using 32-inch sticks. Some people were using 28-inch sticks. A few actually went more than that, but that was very rare. So the government had to come up and say, everybody needs to follow the same standard. Like when you say, I want a pound of pinto beans. That should be enough to feed my family, but when you only get like technically half a pound and you've paid for a whole pound, you're going to be a little upset about that. So that's why we in this world have gone by standards of measure. And so that's why when we get in our car and we rev the car up to where it says 30 miles per hour, we know that we should be doing 30 miles per hour. If not, what's going to happen? We might get a ticket if we're going too fast. So, yes, there are standards up there. And they have signs on the road saying, okay, protect our standards. We want everybody to be safe, so we will limit the speed to a certain amount. And people who do not respect that standard can cause problems for others. So that's why we need a standard of authority. And so we'll see by the end of this sermon that the Bible is the absolute authority in matters of religion. So we're going to look first at some of the false standards people come up with, and they're very predominant in our society, in the minds of many people. These standards work for them, and they're okay to go along with that. And then we will see what the true standard is and why people need to be encouraged to follow that standard. Human creeds are used and put forth as standards of authority. So we consider Paul's words to Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, that's what the Word of God does for us. It gives us everything we need. It makes us profitable and thoroughly furnished unto to do the good works that God wants us to do. And some people come up with this idea, well, let's just write it in a book and tell people what they need to do, when we already have a book. See, the Bible provides us with all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's what it tells us, 2 Peter 1:3. God's mercy has granted that to us. But what happens? Well, let's add a few things. So, human creeds are unnecessary, and they can only lead men astray. That's their only purpose, lead people away from the Word of God. See, it's ironic that in just about every religious human creed that they declare the Bible to be the inspired, inerrant, infallible, and able to provide everything man needs in his duty to God. They say that in their literature, and then what do? They add a whole bunch of rules not found in the Bible. And they follow these creeds religiously. You know, some people rely upon their parents to give them the guidance. And hopefully parents are supposed to raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to teach them properly. But here's the problem here. You would think it's unimaginable that any parent would willingly lead his or her child astray. I mean, it's possible for a parent, albeit with good intentions, to cause his children to believe error. If the parent believes error and teaches the children to believe the same thing, what are they believing? They're believing error. And so Paul wrote, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." We're all going to stand before God individually and give an account of our actions. If we've been practicing error, he's going to tell us about it. If we've been practicing the truth, he will commend us for it. So when my life is over, on this earth is over, and this world comes to an end for me, I will not be judged according to my parents' belief or their behavior, but according to my own beliefs and my own behavior. Ezekiel 18:20, the son shall not bear the sins of the father, and the father shall not bear the sins of the son. In other words, everyone's sins will be upon themselves. And so I'm still responsible. Now, if I've listened to someone and they've told me, go this way, and that's the wrong way, I'm still going to be lost because I haven't followed the right standard. A lot of people like to follow the majority. Surely, they say, if the majority thinks something is right, it must be right. Well, you know what they also say? If you say a lie long enough, a lot of people are going to start believing it. And so, yeah, I mean, that's what they do. Or you might come up, well, that many people certainly can't be wrong. Or can they? I mean, this too is a false standard of authority. Just because everybody else does it, just because everybody out there in the religious world says all you have to do is say the sinner's prayer, that's all you need to do to get to go to heaven. That doesn't make it right. The majority is usually wrong. And we're warned in the Bible not to follow the majority. In Exodus 23:2, it says, do not follow a multitude to do evil. A lot of times you start seeing big crowds going down, there's going to be problems there. We saw that last year when all of a sudden these peaceful protests, the big crowds, kept getting bigger and bigger. Next thing you know, windows were being smashed, stores were being looted, and places were being burned. I mean, some things need to be avoided. And wherever you see the big crowd, I mean, that's not always the right thing to do. Even Jesus said that. So Jesus said, "Enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So following the majority is not the right way to go. And certainly doesn't establish a basis for religious authority. I mean, just look around in our society. Most people live like there is no God. They're not aware of God, or if there is a God, they really don't care. As long as they get to do what they want to do, that's what they're going to do. And whether God said something in His Word or not, they really don't care. Most of them don't take the time to read the Bible. Most people have never read the Bible. And they've never had any interest in reading the Bible. Another standard people use are preachers. You know, I can trust my preacher. He knows more about the Bible than anyone else I know. Sure, it's nice that you can say something like that, but that's not the source of authority. The preacher is not the source of authority. It's a false standard of authority. And John wrote that we are to believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John was telling people, don't believe everything your preacher says. You verify. You know, that's what it means to try the spirits. You check them out and see if they match with the Word of God. And so that's what they're supposed to do. But some people just take the preacher's word. Well, he must know what he talks about. I mean, he knows the Bible better than me, so I'll just follow his word. That is the wrong standard to follow. And so we ought to have the attitude of the Bereans, who searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things they heard were so. And really, I have implored upon every member here, go to the scriptures and verify what I teach. Because I'm human. And if I make a mistake, and if you think I'm teaching something wrong, we'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. But still, don't take my word for it. Verify from the scriptures these things are so. Preachers are human. And while some do their very best to present the truth in its purity, we should hold them to such a standard. We should hold them there. And we should expect that out of them. And if they stop teaching the truth, it's time to get rid of them. But some preachers fail at preaching the truth, or the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See, some preachers will preach partial truths. They'll preach just enough to make you think they're religious, but they won't teach the whole truth. And they have different standards. Now, this is the one that most people go with as far as their standard of authority in religious circles is their feelings. They may ask, well, if I feel saved, how can I possibly be lost? I've actually heard people say that in my life. I've heard them say that. I feel saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I can't be lost. Even though they weren't serving God properly, I mean, I've heard them say that. And they may be members of a particular denomination because it makes them feel so spiritual. You know, sometimes in the Pentecostal groups, they get kind of wild and crazy. They roll in the aisles and they do a lot of hooting and hollering. Oh, the Spirit's really touching me, and I feel so uplifted by that. I mean, they're relying upon their feelings. But this too is a false standard of authority. See, the prophet Jeremiah wrote, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You know, Jeremiah 10:23. And that's right. I mean, it's I don't determine my own path. I'm supposed to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. I mean, In all of our ways, we're supposed to acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And so we're supposed to let God direct our path. How does he direct our path? Through his word. I mean, so that's our standard of authority we should be following. See, men have often foolishly departed from God by choosing to do that which was right in their own eyes. It's been going on for thousands of years. I mean, Judges 21:25, he says, there was no king in Israel in those days, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I mean, everybody's setting up their own standard. I mean, choosing what is right. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Just because I'm okay with what I'm doing doesn't make it right. I mean, God's going to find out why I'm doing these things. He's going to know, and that's it. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. How many times talking to someone and, it just seems so right to me. It just feels right. We've heard that so often, so many times. And yet they're following a false standard. Now, God's word, the only correct standard of authority is God's word, the Bible. And that's where this lesson takes us. And this really should be enough. But we'll expand on it a little bit. See, the Bible is inspired of God, completely furnishes us to every good work, like we read there in 2 Timothy 3:16. It gives us everything we need to prepare us to do the works that God wants us to do. The Bible gives us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3 again. And even though the word of God will abide forever, we know that some people distort the word. People like to manipulate the word. And Peter talked about this when he said, some rest the scriptures. You know, he says, you know, the writings of our brother Paul, I mean, they're very deep, very, very powerful. But some people twist his words around to their own destruction. And people do that today. They can read, well, I know the Bible says this, but I feel that. I know what the Bible says about baptism, but I don't think baptism is necessary. And so that's the way I'm going to go. I mean, so they twist the scriptures. Sometimes when you get on a particular subject, they say, well, Jesus didn't really mean what he said. What he meant was this. And he comes up with a whole different interpretation. And so that's what happens. I mean, it does that. People do that. When you talk about rest the scriptures, it comes from the root word that gives us wrestle. What do you do when you wrestle? You see the people get out there, they get in the rink, and they just roll around and grab each other and try and pin each other down, and they're wrestling. That's the word you get with these. I mean, they're not satisfied to take the word as it says, so you got to flip it around, look at it from different angles, and find the angle that I want to look at it from, and then we'll go that way. So in other words, they twist its meanings and squirm around with different passages to get them to where their mind wants them. Or if they don't like what they read, they can just cut it out. Just ignore it. Some people actually do that. I know years ago there was a preacher had a gospel meeting going on, and a woman came up and asked him a question. He said, well, it's right there in your Bible, and quoted her script. Well, it's not in my Bible. He said, are you sure? So she opened up. She had taken some scissors and cut out the passage. It wasn't in her Bible. And so, I mean, how can you reason with someone like that who's not willing to take the word of God for what it says? So rather than just take what God gives them, they make the word conform to their ideals. And this is the idea of eisegesis. Make the word say what I want them to say. And so, yeah, I mean, you can sit down and people have written a lot of material about why you don't need to be baptized in order to be saved. I mean, they write pages and pages and pages and put down all these things when all you have to do is turn to Mark 16, 15, and 16. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Maybe we should throw the word "duh" in there, but still, people will do that. See, it would be no different than getting a recipe book to make cookies. All right. And this is something we can understand. If you want to you want to try different things, you get a recipe book, and then you make it according to the recipe, and you'll get what they have there. Some people don't like that. I know I don't. I take a recipe and I add to it. I enhance it. But I know what I'm doing, so that makes a difference. See, while the instructions are there to get the desired results, you still have to do certain things. Let's say we're making cookies. We got to secure the right ingredients and mix them in the proper proportions and bake them for a specific amount of time, and then we'll have what we want. But what if we decide to substitute? Let's assume that you do not have all the ingredients for your cookies. Can we substitute an ingredient? Well, you're not going to get what the recipe calls for. And sometimes it may not be good. I know one person who substituted Tide soap for flour.
Yeah.
she liked to do her delicate clothing in the kitchen sink, so she had a canister of Tide that she put in the sink and washed her delicates with. One time she was making some sweet potatoes and it called for flour, so she just stuck her spoon in there, grabbed a couple scoops, and it didn't taste that good. But anyway, we understand what happens when you make substitution. You don't have what you're supposed to have. What if we decide to substitute sugar with salt? You know, it calls for a cup of sugar, you put in a cup of salt. What's that going to do? Anybody who's ever done any baking knows what that's going to do. It's unedible. You cannot eat it. It's just so powerful with the salt. And yeah, we can do that, but what would be the results? Yeah, it'd be a disaster. So what we're saying is use a little common sense here. If we have a formula to make cookies and we follow that formula exactly, we should have cookies. If we have a formula from God that says how to be saved and we follow that formula exactly, we can be saved. I mean, little common sense. So what makes men think they can substitute, add, or leave out any part of the recipe that God gives them and get the same result? Well, that's where you go back to the things. They rely upon their feelings. They go to human creeds. They follow what the preachers have to say and maybe what their parents have guided them to believe. I mean, that's what makes people think these things. See, common sense tells us that doing anything differently than what the Word of God says will not bring about salvation. That ought to be quite obvious. See, we see in the New Testament that people were trying to change God's word even before it was written. Can you believe that? Well, they were. I mean, Paul talked about that in Galatians 1, 6 through 10. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have been preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, and so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And here's what people do. This is why they do it. They do it to please men. And a lot of these, all these denominations out there, they're doing it to please men. And they're not doing it to please God. Because God's word is our only authority in matters of religion, it must not be added to, subtracted from, or altered in any way. You know, the very end of the Bible, Revelation 22, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." I mean, he said that back in Deuteronomy. Don't add to it. Don't add to God's word. Don't take away from God's word. You let God's word stand on its own. And that's what we should do. If anybody wants to go to heaven, they will do that. But so many people want to do it their own thing. They want to do it their own way. And they're going to rely on any other number of things as their standard of authority. And that's not going to help anybody get to heaven. Because God's word is our only authority in matters of religion, we will all one day be judged by the word. This is what Jesus said. And who is Jesus? Oh yeah, he's the Son of God. He is really God in the flesh. So if he said it, it must be important, right? Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." John 12:48. When we read other passages of scripture, we basically have come to learn that the entirety of God's word is the truth, and these are the words that Jesus wants us to hear. So yes, the words of the Bible are going to be our judge. They are the standard by which we will be judged. And we must remember that. In Revelation 20:11-12, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whom the face of the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works." Yeah, we're going to be judged according to the things in those books. One of those books is going to be the Bible. The Bible is going to be there. The Lamb's Book of Life will be there. Anyone's name not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. The Book of Remembrances, as we read from Malachi, God has two books of remembrances. He remembers those who reject him. He remembers those who honor him. So, yeah, these are the book of deeds that we have done. The people of the world use many different types of authority when it comes to matters of religion. So when all is said and done, we should seek the authority that comes from God. Stick with the book, chapter, and verse type teaching and accept nothing less than that. I mean, take it from God's word. We can never be united in religion until we accept God's word as the only standard of authority in matters of religion. Here's the problem out in the religious world. They don't have the same standard. There are thousands of religions out there that claim to honor Christ as the Son of God, and yet they teach different doctrines, teach different philosophies. They're not united. And that's what Christ prayed for, that they all may be united in us. You know, John 17. So, what is your standard of authority in matters of religion? If it's not the Word of God, then you have the wrong standard you're following. So that's our lesson. It's a simple lesson. And hopefully we've made it simple enough to understand. And we do have that responsibility to share the message of God with others. And we should only give them the message of God. Don't rely upon feelings, and don't let others rely upon their feelings. But always direct them towards the Word of God. Because Jesus said, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And you can see quite quickly, if you start examining people, they're not living according to God's standard, and you need to guide them. I mean, you have to lay it out in front of them, saying, "Here's what God says," and then it's their choice. But hopefully, you'll be able to guide them to look to the truth and accept the truth from God's holy word and not rely upon any of those other things. So that's our lesson. Consider these things. We're going to offer an invitation if anyone does need to respond. Everybody here knows what they need to do, and most have already done it. But if there's anything we can help you with, we'll be glad to help you. While together we stand and sing.